Good evening, and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Friday, April 15th, 2016. Fresh clashes reported in the former Unity State, days before Riek Machar returned to Juba.
German has known offensive on our defensive position in Rukoni County, in a certain area called Intuakil.
And a human rights group says the government continues to arrest and detain people without charging them.
These men have been detained by national security without charge. They have no access to lawyers.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Fresh clashes are being reported between government and opposition forces in the former Unity State, less than 5 days before the expected arrival of former rebel leader Riek Machar in Juba. An SPLA-IO spokesman says government forces attached their bases in Unity's Rubkona County. The government acknowledges the fighting took place, but blames the rebels for the clashes. Maguma Davis Wakarinj reports for VOA from Juba.
SPLA-IO deputy spokesman Major Dixon Gatwak says the government army attacked the rebel-held area on Wednesday and Thursday.
German has known offensive on our defensive position in Rukoni County, in a certain area called Intuakil. The German also attacked our defensive in Wak, several areas around northern part of Unity State.
Gatwak says the government and its allied militias have repeatedly violated the ceasefire stipulated in the August peace agreement. SPLA spokesman Brigadier Lur Ruai Kong acknowledges the two sides exchanged fire, but says the government was performing what he calls its usual role of protecting people and their property.
Some elements from IO went to loot some cattle from a nearby cattle camp at a place called Wichok. They attacked the cattle owners, and they stole some cattle. So what we did was responding to the threat that was being posed to the civilians, and we went to defense of the civilian, and that was how it all started.
Kong alleges the rebels stole an unknown number of cattle from the area. Both Kong and Gatwak say both sides suffered losses but are unwilling to disclose the number of casualties on their respective sides. Gatwak says government forces are trying to grab more land before the peace deal is implemented.
They are trying to push out our forces from their assembling point, which is unacceptable. But our forces managed to repel them back from Wankeri, where they came from, and also the reinforcement that came out from Bentiu town. We also managed to repel them back. But we really condemn this because this is one of the stumbling blocks, you know, toward the implementation of peace.
The Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission has reported violations of the permanent ceasefire by both sides since the peace agreement was signed by the leaders of both sides in August 2015. For VOA News, I am Mugume Davis Ruakarinj in Juba.
A new report published today by the human rights group Amnesty International accuses South Sudan's National Security Service of arbitrarily arresting and detaining more than 30 people and denying them access to legal services. A government spokesman calls the allegations nonsense. Waki Simon Mudu has the story for VOA from Juba.
The 9-page report published today says 35 men have been unlawfully detained by South Sudan's National Security Service operatives. Elizabeth Asamo-Deng, a researcher with Amnesty International, says her organization has confirmed through multiple reliable sources that the men were arrested and detained in Juba but have not been charged with any crime.
So these men have been detained by national security without charge. They have no access to lawyers. Some of them do not have access to family members. In fact, wives, cousins, uncles have tried to visit some of their relatives in national security 2, 3, 4 times and have been repeatedly turned away by national security officers who say that visits are not allowed.
Deng says none of the men have been charged with a crime or have appeared in court. She says they represent just a small fraction of individuals who have been arbitrarily detained by the government. Amnesty International believes several others are being detained within other National Security Service facilities. Deng says South Sudan's military has also engaged in arbitrary detentions. The report identifies the men and provides the dates of their arrests. Among the detainees are the former governor of former Western Equatoria State, Joseph Bangasi Bakasoro, and University of Juba professor Leonzio Angole Onek. South Sudan government spokesman Michael Makwe flatly denies any arbitrary arrests or detentions by the government and calls the report biased.
There is nothing as such. All those who are under detention, if there is anybody under detention, is under detention because he has charges against him. We have no political detainees here to say that we are detaining people without charges.
Deng says most of the detainees were arrested in connection with the Chuya conflict. She says the detentions violate South Sudan laws and international laws. The agreement on the resolution of the crisis in South Sudan requires the parties to the conflict to ensure the immediate and unconditional release of all those detained in connection with the conflict. The South Sudan National Security Act requires the security operatives to produce detainees in court within 24 hours of their detention. Deng says clearly that has not happened.
We are calling for the National Security Service, you know, in cooperation with the government, with the Ministry of Justice and with the judiciary, to ensure that all detainees are either released immediately and unconditionally from detention, or that they are immediately charged by a government prosecutor, brought before court.
And Deng says the court shall decide whether or not they should be released on bail or remanded to a normal prison. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
Civil servants in WOW say their new pay increases of 300% did not show up as promised in last month's paychecks. The central government announced that beginning in February, it would increase the salaries of employees from grades 10 to 17 by 300%. Thousands of state employees say with skyrocketing prices heading higher every day, they cannot make ends meet. Demo Silva Aurelo has more for VOA from WOW.
Following the government's move to increase employees' salaries, only the army, police, wildlife and prisons personnel have seen the increase reflected in their February and March salaries. Federal employees in WOW State also received their higher salaries. WOW State employees say they expected the salary increases to be implemented across the board. William Deng, an employee of the WOW State Ministry of Local Government, says the government has some explaining to do.
The whole civil servants are affected by this, and we were expecting us to be the best people to be prioritized by government. But unfortunately, it turned in a different way. So we are not sure, and we are trying to appeal to the national and the state government that let us work on this hard so that they can at least increase our salaries. Because what happened is really unacceptable.
State employee Batista Festo says although he too falls within the grades earmarked for a pay rise, his paycheck remains the same. Festo says he has had to take out several loans to pay his bills.
Some people receive salaries which include the recent increase, but why not me? I have borrowed money and taken commodities from shops on loan, hoping that I will repay it when I receive my new increased salary. I am going to be in problem. I wish I knew.
Some state employees say they don't see how they will continue to work when the pay they receive is not enough to provide for even the most basic necessities for their families. But even employees like Carmela Joseph, whose March salaries included the pay increase, say the money is still not enough to enable them provide for their families.
This salary would have helped, but with the current situation, it can't. We have stayed for 3 months just to get paid for 1 month. This money goes all for paying dues. I used to receive 884 SSP, but a lot of deduction has been made with the new pay, which made me to receive only 1,400 SSP.
WOW State Finance Ministry officials point out that the decision to increase government employees' salaries was made by the national government, and any complaints should be directed to Juba. State Finance Minister Victor Korn admits that WOW State employees should have had their pay increased.
The increment did not reflect in their salaries for February, because these salaries for February. The only departments that had increments now in this salary that have increments are police and prison and wildlife. That those are the organized forces that got increments in this salary. The fire brigade department did not get any increment in their salaries. But of course, we may not have an explanation because those departments, organized forces, have their salary structures and everything organized from there. Even their pay sheet don't come here.
Korn says the state government will follow up on the pay discrepancy with federal officials and urged WOW state employees to be patient. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in WOW.
A United States Senate committee held a hearing on Wednesday about allegations that some UN peacekeepers are sexually abusing women and girls in Sudan and other African countries. Members of Congress expressed their outrage at what they call a lack of accountability and want the UN to punish peacekeepers who exploit the people they are supposed to protect. As VOA fellow Nadia Taha reports, Senate Foreign Relations Committee members heard dramatic testimony from a former spokesperson for the United Nations Mission in Darfur, or UNAMID.
Ash al-Basri, a former spokesperson for United Nations Mission in Darfur, told the senator that UNAMID cover-up crimes allegedly committed by Sudanese government soldiers in Darfur that may well amount genocide crimes against humanity and war crimes.
Between 24 and 26 of August 2012, government soldiers raided three villages. For three consecutive days, they assaulted men and children, raped women and girls, destroyed their farms and looted their properties. This forced up to 5,000 villagers to flee for their lives.
Al-Basri says the government attacked the civilians because accused them of supporting the rebels. They asked the villagers to identify their tribes. Al-Basri testified that UNAMID did not allow her to release her report on what she and her colleagues saw when the government force and the Arab militia attacked civilians in Tawila in North Darfur.
Although UNAMID leadership expected me to do as I was told and ask no questions, I continued to raise concerns about the mission reports. Consequently, I faced censorship and hostility, especially from Mr. Karen Chelyan, the Russian chief of staff of UNAMID, who controlled the flow of information within the mission, as well as the communication with the UN headquarters in New York. But Mr. Chelyan wasn't acting alone. He enjoyed the support of other senior staff, especially the Somali Deputy Joint Special Representative for Operation, Mr. Mohamed Yunus, who is now the Foreign Minister of Somaliland.
Al-Basri also told members of Congress there is no doubt that the Sudanese government committed genocide in Hashaba, also in North Darfur. Al-Basri told members of Congress there is no doubt that Sudanese government committed genocide in Hashaba in North Darfur in 2012.
One example of how information control played out occurred after the Sudanese government committed a massacre in an area called Hashaba from 25th to 27th September 2012. The Sudanese Air Force first dropped bombs on the area, and when the bombing stopped, a large group of soldiers and militiamen stormed the area. They killed and injured people who were trying to escape. Soon after the journalist began inquiring about the attack, I recommended that the mission issue a public statement. But Chelyan imposed an information blackout even after the mission saw the evidence of the massacre for themselves. UNAMID established that at least 39 men, 20 women and 11 children were killed in this attack, which was carried out by the government forces. In addition, Chelyan drafted and compiled a code cable which distorted the facts documented by internal reports. They described the attack as part of inter-tribal conflicts over land and resources.
Ranking member Ben Cardin, a Democratic from Maryland, ended the hearing by saying that UN should make it clear their own peacekeeper will be held responsible for committing violence. Committee Chairman Bob Carger, Republican from Texas, added that American people through their elected representative will not send money to organizations that are not able to stop their own people from sexual exploitation of civilians. For VOA News, I'm Nadia Taha in Washington.
Coming up, school enrollment is down this year due to the conflict between government forces and Arrow Boys in the new Budwe state. More on that when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what music do you prefer, African or Western, and why?
I prefer Western music because the lyrics are more meaningful.
I love African music because African music, most of times they talk about what has happened, about events, about our tradition. So I like African music.
Actually, I like African music because I am an African, so I like African music and the dances.
I love African music. The beats are nice.
I prefer Western music because their beat is good. They go with the song, unlike this African music, where the beat is different and the song is different.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus. A policy forum organized by United States Congresswoman Karen Bass, a Democrat from California, is shining a spotlight on the former lost boys and girls of Sudan who were resettled in the United States in the early 2000s. Bass hosted a forum today featuring a panel of some of those lost boys and girls, now young men and women, who are giving back to their societies back home. They include Nyamal Beal of the western state of Nebraska, who is the founding director of the Nya Eden Foundation, an organization that helps empower women in South Sudan.
I feel very strongly that South Sudan needs to have young women on the decision-making table, and especially in peace-building. That is something I see is not happening in the country. Although they say that constitutionally there is a 25% spot that's held for women, that's just on paper. It's not realistic. And that is what a lot of us young South Sudanese women are working in different fields. You know, there's a young lady back there. She's a journalist. She's making her mark in our community by telling the truth and so forth.
Former Lost Boy David Achoth is a legislative fellow in the office of Congresswoman Bass and one of the organizers of today's policy forum. Achoth says the forum is important because it goes a long way in highlighting the journey of South Sudanese like himself who were forced to flee their villages.
Number two, we also wanted to highlight that those who are here in the diaspora, particularly the Lost Boys and Lost Girls, have already acquired the skills necessary to help South Sudan, you know, with institutional development.
Institutional development like hospitals, schools, roads, things that should be part of South Sudan's infrastructure, but are not. Achoth says there are plenty of capable South Sudanese in the diaspora who are eager to go back and help rebuild their country.
We know that there is a progress being made now toward peace. And the question I had is, what if you set the foundation for skills transfer now, you know, where you have people that go home to do some work, you know, with respect to community development, capacity development, and what have you. And what today has done is it's put South Sudan on the national topic in Washington.
Congresswoman Bass is drafting legislation that would help the former lost boys and girls afford higher education fees. In addition, Bass says she wants to provide funding for more lost boys and girls so they can return to South Sudan. Teachers in Budwe State say fewer students have enrolled in school this year than last year because of the conflict, which forced thousands of people to flee their villages. Education officials say now that the warring parties in the state have signed a peace deal, they expect more students to enroll in the next school term. Gift Friday has more for VOA from Yambio.
School administrators say when fighting broke out between government forces and the Aero Boys last August, some schools relocated from rural areas to the state capital, Yambio, where it was relatively safe. They say four schools that had been operating in rural areas had relocated and are sharing the same premises with Yabongo Day and Primary Secondary School in Yambio Town. Martha Wilson, a student at the ECS Secondary School, is one of the students whose school is temporarily operating from Yabongo Girls Day Primary and Secondary School. Wilson says they fled from the Naduru residential area when the fighting broke out. She says many students fled the school because their male colleagues disappeared from the area on a daily basis. She says now that peace has returned to the area, she hopes their school will reopen so students can leave the overcrowded premises of Yabongo Girls Day Primary and Secondary School.
As they have signed peace, I think things will go well, and also education will be going well. We will go back to our school peacefully because everything will be good. We will leave as normal before we were leaving.
Kibako Victor, another student displaced from Naduru ECS Secondary School, says he nearly dropped out of school due to the conflict.
I was not even feeling of going to school again, because if I go to school, I was fearing that they are going to kill me, they are going to shoot me on the way going to school. That's the problem.
Dominic Venancio Gaza, the headmaster of the Naduru Episcopal Church of Sudan Secondary School, says the state minister of education relocated his school to Yambio for the safety of the students. He says only 200 students are enrolled in school this year, out of more than 300 students last year. He says the conflict has negatively affected education and school enrollment.
The effect on education, more especially for Timbiro in particular, it has resulted in a higher dropout of the school. It has reduced the number of the students. Most of them have seeking refuge in the neighboring countries like Congo. So with the news of the signing of the peace, so there is a hope that life will come back to normal.
Venancio is calling on parents and students not to lose hope and says things are slowly returning to normal in the state. Graciano Yakub, the headmaster of Yabongo Day Secondary School, who is hosting the other three schools, says they failed to conduct term one exams last year due to the conflict. Speaking in Arabic, he says his school has registered about 120 students this year, which he says is a significant reduction from the year before.
We hope this year will be better in case we implement the agreement, and I hope there will be development.
A member of Budu State Legislative Assembly representing Nadiangre Payam, Singira Robert, says before the two sides signed a peace agreement, the rebel controlled many Payams, including his constituency, forcing many schools to close due to the fighting. Singra says he is optimistic conditions will improve now that the two sides have resolved their differences.
Schools are not functioning in the outskirts of Yambio County, apart from the few areas along the main roads where schools are functioning. But in the centers, in the Bomas and those Payams, schools are not functioning. But we hope with the signing of this agreement and with the coming of Dr. Riek Machar Tijuba, peace will be implemented in totality in South Sudan and in Western Equatoria and in my Payam Najangere for that reason.
Yambio County Education Director Jeremiah Ismail says school enrollment in majority of the schools dropped significantly during the conflict.
It has fallen around 30%, mainly Rangu and Najangere Payams. The situation of the education system is deteriorating.
Ismail says the schools in Lirango and Najangere Payams, which are under the Aero Boys, have not reopened due to insecurity there. But he expects a majority of his students to rejoin school the next school term, which is likely to be in June or July. Thousands of Yambio residents fled the county earlier this year when fighting intensified in Yambio County between the Aero Boys and government forces, leaving dozens of people dead and thousands of others displaced from their homes. For VOA News, I'm Gift Friday in Yambio.
Here's a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, Ayan. New fighting broke out this week between government and opposition forces in the former unity state less than 5 days before the expected arrival of former rebel leader Riek Machar in Juba on Monday. SPLA-IO spokesmen say government forces attacked their bases in Unity's Rubconia County. The government acknowledges that fighting did indeed take place, but blames the rebels for the clashes. SPLA-IO deputy spokesman Major Dixon Gatlok says the government army attacked the rebel-held areas on Wednesday and Thursday in Rubconia County and several areas in the northern part of what was called Unity State. Teachers in the newly created state of Budwe say fewer students have enrolled in school this year than last year because of the conflict, which forced thousands of people to flee their villages. Education officials say now that the warring parties in the state have signed a peace deal, they expect more students to enroll in the next school term, which is expected to begin in June or July. School administrators say when fighting broke out between government forces and the so-called Arrow Boys last August, some schools relocated from rural areas to the state capital of Yambio, where it was relatively safe. They say four schools that had been operating in rural areas have since relocated and are sharing the same premises with Yabongo Day and primary secondary schools in Yambio town. And finally, a new report published today by Amnesty International accuses South Sudan's National Security Service of arbitrarily arresting and detaining more than 30 people and denying them access to legal services. A government spokesman calls the allegations nonsense. The 9-page report says 35 men have been unlawfully detained by South Sudan's National Security Service operatives. Elizabeth Ashamu Deng, a researcher with Amnesty International, says her organization has confirmed through multiple reliable sources that the men were arrested in Juba but have not been charged with any crime. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
And that's our show for this Friday. We leave you with the song South Sudan Independence by Dynamic.
Dynamic. Belete na South Sudan ligo independent. Dunia kulugali inanasigo wikalis. Minjuba leto riti na badaguna woyoi. Mashakin futu, belete na jedi. Independent. Belete na ligo. Belete na ligo. Independent. Belete na ligo. Belete na ligo, Belete na ligo, South Sudan ligo, Belete na ligo. Gebila taki, gebila tani kulu sawa. Motoro kanenzil,
maginenzil vipetu
wa. Wojo jo jo jo, mina kulu wa kulu min sahanwa. Sipu tatani. Leyalte in a dead piece of Sudan. Wojaya, Belletain a legal, Belletain a legal, Belletain a legal, independence of those. Belletain a legal, Belletain a legal. Wojaya, Umataki,
Umatata.
Oh la 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 la. Abutaki,
Abutata,
Anakelimu, Akutaki,
Akutata,
Ona, Okutaki,
Okutata,
Pisa Sudan, Ninakulu, Ninakulu, Ahit Mama, Ninakulu, Ninakulu, Ahit, South Sudan, Ninakulu, Ahit.
We've been listening to Dynamic with the song South Sudan Independence. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.